Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lunchtime Special Podcast, a show about life, death, and everything in between. We hope you enjoy the show.
Listeners, and welcome to the Lunchtime Special Podcast. And today, I have my very special co-host, Tish.
Hello, everyone.
And my name is Spiro, and we're going to talk about something which everyone knows about. It's very rarely discussed. We're talking about breathing. Yes, the thing that we all take for granted, the thing that we do without even thinking, the thing that we do without ever being properly trained on. So, breathing, what is it? What does it do to us? It's a fascinating subject, so hopefully you'll enjoy this chat. All right, so I was sent an article by the LA Yoga Club by another fellow Spiro who works there, who's the owner of that yoga club, and the article revolved around the effects of decelerated breathing and basically what are the health benefits. So we have from physicsworld.com, a great article, about how breathing and the rhythms of breathing that we do, how they affect our mind and in turn how they affect our relaxation, our well-being, our health. What I found really fascinating was, and this is where Tish really steps in, is, well, the similarities to yogic practices of breathing and how this study really actually is effectively proof that yoga, breathing, pranayama, would that be the word?
Yep.
Really actually has a physical effect on our body. And it can be measured and it can be seen. So I will link to this article in the show notes. I think it's a great read and really clearly shows the benefits. Now, Artish, pranayama. What are we talking about? What is pranayama?
So you started with the word breathing, this discussion.
Yeah.
Breathing is, in a way, most universal phenomena, which most of the biological organisms, they experience inherently. And then that gives the sign of life. That is the sign which says that a life is there. However, that energy which enables a life, when it departs with the breathing capability.
Mm.
So the breathing goes, the life goes.
Yeah.
So in the yogic sutras, it is very clearly written that the life is breathing. And breathing is life. So somehow, the whole experience of a life for an individual is like an interwoven story around the gravity of breathing.
Mm.
Breathing is the founding stone of life.
Yeah.
Now, because it is an inherent and subconscious phenomena, it's an autonomous phenomena, we don't need to put any conscious attention to it, to its functions, to its the areas which it affects, the regulations it causes to the body and mind. It doesn't come to our conscious perception, so we don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that we need to find a way to walk, because we need a conscious attention to seek the path to walk. But for breathing, we don't need to do something like that. We don't need to consciously seek or identify options and make a selection. It mm-hmm. happens on its own.
Yes.
So pranayama, the technique which is mentioned in yogic sutras and in most of the yogic texts, is a consolidation of various regulations of breathing through which physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, psychic well-being, and a universal well-being of an individual is achieved in layman terms. Talking in technical terms, pranayama is the science which regulates and harmonizes your conscious and subconscious intelligences, which is governing your biological constitution. Pranayama is supported by dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. They are also scientific and technical terms, but we'll come to later to it. So let's refer to this German university research on decelerated breathing and its impact on the brain waves. In our normal world, what are the most famous problems which we hear about? Heart dysfunctions?
Stress.
Depression, blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
metabolism issues.
Mm-hmm.
So these are a few of the terms which are very famous.
Yeah.
And also, common. Yeah, they're very common. Also, the joint-related problems, stiffness,
mm-hmm.
and especially digestion becomes one of the very great issues, which is very much interlinked with the stress and any mental negativity state, which is undesirable.
That mind and gut connection.
It's very famous, right? Mm. Everybody experiences it.
Yeah.
Many people, they have diarrhea in this situation of stress. Many people, they lose the kind of that intelligence and that force of getting to defecation if they are very much in stress. So
the
both have kind of north and south pole impact.
Yes.
So pranayama, I mainly study and realize the practices through those Sanskrit texts, which are the kind of the organic texts for pranayama. It is written that there are two forces which works when breathing happens, when the breathing phenomena happens. Let's call it North Pole and South Pole. So they call it that there is one prana which is called as apana. It works from the digestion area, from the guts area. It works this prana. And there is one prana which works in respiratory region, which is called as prana. So prana attracts apana. So there are two forces. One force is attracting the other force. And then following the other force is attracting the first force.
Mm-hmm.
And that is causing inhale and exhale phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening. It's a force-driven activity if we look at it technically. So that means continuously there are two intelligence or maybe more working in harmony to let this regular breathing pattern happen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand it.
Yeah.
I would also like to introduce a very interesting fact. When you breathe, do you recognize, do you notice that your nostrils, they change in their pace?
Yeah.
Their intensity of the force from them.
Whether they flare, whether they're rapidly moving, whether they're...
Yeah. And if the left nostril is more strong in the force of the air coming out, exhale, than the right. Or right is more strong than the left.
Mm-hmm.
In yogic text, we call it swara. The sound of one's breath is swara. And there is a whole department in yogic text called swara yoga, the yoga of breathing. And there's a whole texts written of practices and mantras to regulate that cycle.
Mm.
So I will not go into more deeper in there, but I will just touch it to tell you that even your breathing, if in the daytime from morning to evening, just do a simple exercise. Take your finger and place it below your nostrils. And you will realize that either one of them would be very strong and the other one will be less strong. So just to tell you, because we are touching this research of this German university on the breathing impact on brain, when your left nostril is more significant in the force, it is a sign that your mental body is more active and your biological, means your kind of respiratory system, your autonomous intelligence-driven system is less active. That means your metabolism is less active, your breathing is more restful, your pulses are less active and your mind is more active. On contrary, if your right nostril is more active and left is less active in the force of the air, that means the latter part has become more active now. So the autonomous intelligence, subconscious intelligences, they have become more active.
Mm.
And mind and mental activity has become less active.
Mm.
It falls back, it connects back to the very famous three nadis, three energy channels analogy in yogic sutras. They call Ida, Pingala and Sushumna. Ida represents the left side, Pingala represents the right side, Ida represents the moon energy, Pingala represents the sun energy, and that is how they are connected.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is Sushumna Nadi, Sushumna channel, which represents that when you will place your finger and you will feel that the both are having equal intensity of the force of the air flow, that means your Sushumna Nadi is active. That is a spiritual channel.
Right.
So in that situation, your mental construct, your mental body, your autonomous intelligence, biological body, those intelligence, they will be on rest.
Mm.
And your spiritual channel, that means your psychic body would be more active.
Mm.
So this is the few of the components of pranayama practices.
Yeah.
Now, again, I will connect it back. The research of the German university, which says about how pranayama, how the breathing practices, how decelerated breathing works on the blood pressure, on respiration, on metabolism, so on and so forth. Now, pranayama, I would like to refer back to one of the famous Kriya Yoga text, Hatha Yoga text. Its name is Kheranda Sanghita. written by the great Rishi Gheranda. And he mentions what are the different methods of doing pranayama. So I would just sing that mantra in the respect of him. And then I would take you back that why pranayama first. And then we discuss about the techniques. So, sahitah surya bhedascha ujjayi shitali tatha bhastrika bhramari murcha. So, breathing by your own experience has three states where it pauses. First, when you inhale. Second, when you exhale. So, there are three states in it. First is Purak. Second is Richak. Third is Kumbhak. When you inhale, you take a pause after inhale. That's like holding the breath. When you exhale, you take a pause before you inhale again. So when you inhale and then you hold your breath in this state, there are eight different techniques of pranayama, which is mentioned. And this mantra was just outlining those eight techniques.
Wow.
Now these pranayamas, they bring a lot of effect on your mind. How does it do that? When you harmonize your body with asanas and then follow by correct method of pranayama, it starts to bring down the breathing rate. It starts to decelerate your breathing rate. The more deceleration happens, the more it tunes to your blood pressure, your pulses state, your metabolism, and then it causes all the cascading effect.
Mm-hmm.
So in question of existence, what is controlling what? Matter controlling energy or energy controlling matter? Somehow we see an inclination that energy is definitely more stronger than matter.
Mm.
Subtle is more stronger than gross. If you can manage your subtle resources, like your mind, your emotions, your psychic states, you can more easily manage your gross state. That means your physical body.
Yes.
Pranayama is not only about having a harmonized state of mind. It is actually a science of whole being, whole well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So this research, which is actually outlining very clearly how the deceleration of breath.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it really breaks it down into the different lengths and times and how regular, different types of regulated breathing, how they actually affect our mind, everything from 6 seconds up even to, I think it was the greatest length was like 14 seconds. So basically it looks like decelerated breathing and then the actual breathing pattern rhythm that you take has an immediate effect, but there seems to be an optimum rate. And I think that's actually what's fascinating because it sounds like with your experience with your pranayama and the exercises that you do and the way you decelerate your breathing, you're actually getting those results. And basically this article literally is the hard proof saying that what you're doing is bang on.
Yes. So in my weekends when I practice for 3 to 4 hours, so normally in my daily life, my breathing rate per minute is between 10 to 12. But when I'm after completing my yoga practice or meditation practice with pranayama, the breathing decelerate to 6 to 8. And if I have gone into an intense practice session for 3 to 4 hours, it comes down to 4 to 5 per minute as well. That means matching to what this research is saying.
Exactly.
So, I mean, for the listeners, it is a bit difficult to teach you a technique on this podcast directly. But definitely, I can tell you a very simple exercise that just sit silently, close your eyes, and for 1 minute, have deep inhale and deep exhale. Deep inhale and complete exhale in quick successions. Do it for 1 minute as fast as you can. And after 1 minute, you will feel exhausted. But while keeping your eyes closed, feel the state of your mind and the waves and the colors happening in your mind and the sense of relaxation if there. Notice that. You can easily verify by your own experience.
Mm.
So this is what I can offer to listeners on this. And coming back to this 6 second rhythm to 10 second rhythm thing, it means that 5 seconds to inhale, and 5 seconds to exhale. So what this research is saying, if you can manage to take 6 breaths per minute, naturally, not by force, it has to happen naturally. It has to be a passive phenomenon. If you can manage to do it, your mind will be in a harmonized state.
Yes.
Your blood pressure will be in a harmonized state. Your metabolism will be better.
Well, if you think about it, when people are under high levels of stress, particularly fear, people hyperventilate.
Yeah.
People also hold their breath when they're afraid as well, which is basically that it almost disrupts their breathing. So in terms of the energy flow and consumption and use of energy, there are points in the human experience where we literally withhold ourselves from that energy by holding our breath because out of fear or nervousness. You can really see the connection between the mind and the physical nature of breathing and how they apply to each other. So if you lose emotional regularity, where the emotions are actually taking hold of you and you're not conscious of that, you're literally almost running on autopilot, where either your fear and anxiety is literally governing your body, that directly affects your breathing, which then feeds back, which then increases your blood pressure, which increases the level of stress, which will then probably affect your breathing again. So you get this vicious cycle.
It's a ripple effect.
And then you look at the even more subtle level. Well, breathing and life itself has a spiritual nature. It's an energy, it's a force in itself. So you'll be impacting that as well. So your wider body, your subtle body, which extends beyond just the physical matter that you are, there'll be effects there. What's interesting is the Greek word for spirit is pneuma.
It sounds like prana.
Yes. Well, it effectively means spirit. Life, yeah, it's kind of the same. So when someone, pneuma, is really the thing that keeps them alive. What's interesting is people in the West would use the word like pneumatic. It's basically just the Western way of saying it. So pneumatic means something powered by air.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so something's pneumatic or pneumonia, which is a chest infection that affects your lungs. Again, it's affecting your breathing. It's the same word. So that Greek word of pneuma is basically been attributed to medical conditions like pneumonia and used in context of anything that's wind or air powered, like pneumatic pipes and tubes and pistons. So this word is, we all know about it. It's in our language. But if you dig deeper, you realize like, well, the original word means spirit as well. Like, so therefore, spirit and prana are effectively the same thing. We're talking about the thing that vitalizes and actually gives the matter the energy for it to do its thing.
Yes.
You cut that off. You cut that spirit. You cut that prana off. It's death.
So breathing is life.
Breathing is life.
Air is life.
Air is life. Exactly.
Now, air is life. Breathing is life. And Spiro just touched very important practical challenge in our society that whenever we get nervous, whenever we get uncomfortable in a communication, discussion, or relational state, we feel a shallow breathing state.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we are ventilating, and the word you used, Spiro. We want to take deep air. We don't manage to get to it. Then what happens? Our mind starts to become shallow as well.
Sure.
The thoughts starts to become shallow. We want to get out of that situation. It starts to transition into panicking.
Yes.
That communication gets ruined. That meeting gets ruined. That personal matter discussion gets ruined.
Yes.
And most importantly, our personal state of pleasantness is not there.
Mm.
We feel suffering. We don't want to feel that nervousness, that breathing ventilation. We want to feel comfortable. As a lively being, this is our natural state desire. So the question is how the breathing is influencing your state of life, your quality of life. This has a huge stake.
Yeah, probably, if not the most important thing.
So, suggestion for the listener, you might be experiencing these situations where you are in a meeting, in a professional discussion or a personal matter discussion, and you feel like you're getting nervous, your eyesight is getting shallow, your breathing is getting shallow, you are not finding the words to use, and you feel like not being there.
Yeah.
So, pranayama is the science which helps you manage these challenges and situations. So, what you need to do when you are in such situations, take a pause. Inhale and exhale deeply for a minute. Make a distance from the situation for the moment. Come back, connect to it. Look at things from far. In the daytime, morning and evening, if you can manage to do that, 5 minutes, sit silently somewhere, most preferably keeping your back, your neck and your head in the same row. For 5 minutes, have deep inhale and relaxing exhale longer. Take a pause, do it again. And go by your own experience. We would be adding in our podcast series, possibly speed on the next ones, few techniques that how the listeners, they can actually empower your breathing capacity to influence your mental state so that your heart rate variability reduce, your blood pressure reduce, and the cascading effect of that whole phenomena, that whole intellectual force gets harmonized. And the heart rate variability, the metabolic disorders, the blood pressure issues, the hyperventilation, the hypertension, the stress, they all are regulated by breathing.
Yes.
It's such a huge, significant point in our life.
Mm. Oh, exactly.
So pranayama is the way that can bring that harmony to an individual's well-being of life. I have been informed, and definitely I got exposed to many of the Greek knowledge from Spiro, while he has been into research of physical and subtle, both sides of spiritual practices coming from Greek culture. Looking at the intellectual and emotional and psychic contemplation side of his spiritual knowledge of Greece, worth mentioning Socrates, Aristotle, Phaedrus, and many more names. Spiro is also involved in spiritual rituals, which are physical in nature. And somehow the breathing has a very great stake in those physical rituals.
Yes.
So Spiro, would you like to put some light on it, that how the breathing is so much contextual?
Well, the way I approach ritual, and the, when I mean ritual, it's a combination of a spiritual prayer, magical scenario, and involves a state of mind to be able to connect to something that's beyond me, that's also within me at the same time. And to do that, my mind has to be calm. It's got to be focused, but also has to be open. I can't bring the walls up. I have to be open to be able to get into receive intuitive knowledge, to perceive vision, to have audible experiences, to increase my sensitivity. But to do that, my mind has to be focused. And to focus, breathing comes into play. If my breathing is irregular, fast and then slowing down, is that sort of irregular where there's no constant regular pulse, then it's hard to focus. And people will have experienced that. It's hard to concentrate your brain when you're too busy fighting your own breath. So once the breathing is regulated, and that's usually taking some really deep breaths, and I usually tell it's working because if my eyes are closed, I can perceive, like, I can see like colors and swirling colors in front of me. So that's a projection of my mind, or whether it's just the effect of my retinas on my eyelids, I don't know, but I see the colors. It's usually, like, it could be anything from a blue to a green. Once they are there and I can perceive them, usually it means that my heart rate's actually dropped and my breathing's regulated. Therefore, when I begin my ritual and I'm incanting a prayer, or an incantation, or an evocation, I'm in the moment, I'm in the zone, I'm feeling it, I'm present, and my brain is focusing on the task ahead. So it's basically a tool to get me where I need to be. And that's really how breathing affects me in that literal experiential sense.
That's very interesting, that how breathing has such a great impact into success of any physical rituals for a spiritual or physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Vedic sciences, in the Vedic culture, yajna is a kind of synonymous to what rituals you do from the Greek knowledge. And in yajna also, there is a term called panchabhuta shuddhi. It's like the five elements, like earth, water, sky, space, and air. This body is constitution of those five elements. And the yajna, it's a method to empower and purify those elements. So definitely breathing has a direct impact and success of those rituals. So I would like to give some takeaways for the listeners from the yogic perspective, from the pranayama perspective, and I would like to see how their experiences go, which they can share then. First is that you might have heard about sitting and focusing on your breath. It's a really terrible exercise to do. It's really hard. A lot of people, they just say it's impossible for them. But let me give you this challenge. Sit silently somewhere for 5 minutes. And just for 5 minutes, put a stopwatch. Start with 1 minute to 5 minutes and gradually increase it. And just bring your whole mind attention on your inhale and exhale process. The moment you will cross 2 to 3 minutes, you will realize that your heart rate is dropping. Your breathing rate will become more relaxed in 2 to 3 minutes time. The same thing you also shared while doing your rituals. do this practice. Let us know how does it go. The second technique I would like to share is that use your finger below your nostril in the daytime, various time of the day, and see when your left nostril is active and your right nostril is active. And as we said, left is governing your mental construct, right is governing your biological and autonomous intelligence construct. Be aware of it, how your body is speaking. Pranayama is an advanced science. At the same time, it requires basic steps. Basic steps of you towards your well-being. And slow, pranayama is not an overnight activity. It's a gradual development of your mastery over your own breath.
Yes.
That's what pranayama is. I have been practicing it for the last 15 years now. And I can tell you I'm a student. I'm a child in this area. This science will, I mean, it might blow your mind if I say this, but this science is supposed to enlighten your perception that you can see from beginning till end. You can see the Big Bang and you can see the end. You can see all dimensions. You can see all the parallel universe if they exist. There will be nothing which will be still in doubt for your perception. Can you imagine what does it mean?
Yeah.
It's a science of everything. So this is how I would like to kind of conclude this discussion, Spiro. We would like to add a few words for the listeners, please.
Well, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear what your experiences you've had, whether you actually perform any breathing exercises, what they are and how they contribute. And we're happy to explore these subjects in further. So thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Till next time.
Yeah. Have a happy pranayama.
You have been listening to the Lunchtime Special Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Castbox, Spreaker and SoundCloud. Our intro music is Household Gods by Skin Cage. Until next time.